welcome to episode 11 of What's on Joe Mind. It's a weekly fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe, and it's the only podcast dedicated to all aspects of our favorite hobby. Welcome again, everyone. I am your free bonus subscription figure, Gary. I hope all of you had a safe and fun-filled three-day July 4th holiday. Joining me as usual is my cast of co-hosts, webmaster of GeneralJoes.com and hobby insider extraordinaire, Justin.
Come on, Gary.
Same old, same old. We're just cruising right along. It's almost we got this almost on autopilot now. Can you believe that?
It's crazy. 11 episodes? Wow.
Yeah.
Seems like only yesterday you were begging me to come on the show.
It's all modest.
I'm just kidding.
Going forward, we now mute that channel. Hey, this next guy keeps us on track. He's the yin to Chuck's yang. He's our showrunner. It's Greg.
Hey, Justin. Hey, Gary.
Greg, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, pretty good.
So you're over the shock and awe of hearing last week's recording?
Yes, my ears are still bleeding once in a while, but it's okay.
Now, did you let the girlfriend listen to it?
I don't think so. I think that might be a deal breaker. So.
Oh, wow, man.
Poutine, it was poutine. Poutine.
I let my wife listen to it. She thought it was hilarious. everyone right where it falls apart. That's the funniest thing. And then after that, it was just, you know, Chuck still talking. You know? Hey, speaking of Chuck, he's broadcasting out of New York City. He's a syndicated columnist for InsidePulse.com. It's Chuck. However, we are being joined by Charles, who has a message he'd like to read to us.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening, listeners. Last week on this podcast, there was a bit involving my character, Chuck, rescuing Greg from a Canadian prison. During the course of said bit, I made a Freudian slip, which could have gone unnoticed, but to be honest, didn't. I feel the need to explain where exactly my mind was that caused this Freudian slip. Before the show, Justin asked me about the previous night's Monday Night Raw. Now, before I continue, allow me to please stress that Justin is not a wrestling fan, but one of these fair-weather people who, whenever Rock, Stone Cold, and whatever 90s era star is on, they'll flip. I was taken aback that he knew who CM Punk was and that he would even ask me for my opinion. My train of thought in my mind then went to CM Punk's tattoos, because as some of you may or may not know, CM Punk is a G.I. Joe fan and features two G.I. Joe themed tattoos. My mind then went to other wrestlers who have lots of tattoos, and I thought of the late wrestler Umaga. Umaga was Samoan. In the Samoan dialect, the G is actually pronounced NG. That is why professional wrestler William Regal used to pronounce his name Umanga, with that A-N-G sound. That was stuck in my mind as I was going through the bit.
Boring.
Of rescuing Greg. So, due to the laughter of Gary, Greg, and Justin...
How did I know this is all going to blame me?
Would lead you to believe I said something that would be considered blue. I actually... Instead of saying P-A-I-N, I did a hard N-G. That's why it sounded like I said something inappropriate. Character for me. While I do enjoy the fact, and I appreciate that find it humorous, I just wanted to let all of you understand this will be a one-time-only thing, and that it won't happen again, because I refuse to talk wrestling with Justin ever again. Thanks, and let's carry on with the show.
Thank you, Charles. Welcome, Chuck, to the program.
Hey guys, what's happening? Evening, Greg. Evening, Justin. Evening, Gary.
Hi, Chuck.
Welcome, Chuck.
Hey, we got a big show tonight. Big show.
Big show. Well, fellas, you do anything interesting for the fourth holiday? Any movies or anything?
I didn't see it during the fourth. I went and saw, of course, Transformers: Dark of the Moon last week. 2.5 hours of my life I will never get back.
Guaranteed.
And then over the fourth, just did a lot of family stuff. Fun stuff, parades, swimming pools, ponds, things like that.
And the mother-in-law is in town.
Is Debbie going to listen to this show, too?
She typically listens to the show.
All right, well, I'll keep it clean then. lucky you, Gary.
Thank you. We went and saw Cars 2. A little overhyped. Though Francesco, the Formula One car, is freaking hilarious. The rest of the movie, meh. So anyways, it's just cleaning off the palate, waiting for Captain America.
That's Cars 2, the cash-in, correct?
That would be correct. Correct.
As opposed to Transformers Dark of the Moon, the cash-in.
The final cash-in.
Hey, you know, Cars, that's the number one money-making kids line in terms of toys, so they must be doing something right.
I guess so.
Kids love cars.
They do.
Okay, so we got that out of the way now, so let's get on to the contact information and get this thing kicked over to Greg so we can get us started on episode 11. If you'd like to contribute to the show or have any questions, comments, and or suggestions, contact us as whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can find us at our Podbean site, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com, and at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com/mobile for all mobile devices. We cover iPhones, Android, BlackBerry, Windows Mobile, and any phone that has an internet browser and can support MP3 playback. We also have moderation is on at the site. Feel free to leave comments. We will approve them. And like I said last week, if you leave a snarky comment, expect a snarky one back. Also find us at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind, where we have a lot of updates about our show, interactive. Feel free to drop by, post on the wall, say hi, whatever. We welcome you doing that. You can stop on by our home site at joedeclassified.com and find our sticky threads on TNI, Joe Customs, and now Fighting 118th. And our regular discussion threads on Joe Canuck, Terradrome, JBL, His Tank, Blood for the Baron, and if you can find it, the G.I. Joe Collectors Club. Don't forget to point your iPods, iPads, iPhones, and iTunes clients to the iTunes Store where you can subscribe to the program. Just follow up from this is just a follow-up from last week's tech support segment. Found out that both iTunes clients can be updated immediately when we upload. So that's Windows and Mac. As soon as we upload, you'll be able to get them immediately. Those that have iOS devices, which would be your pods, your phones, and your pads, those will take about 24 hours for you to get updated too. So be patient. If you absolutely got to listen to the show and can't wait for your device to update, just hit the Podbean site and you can listen to it from there. Let's see. Coming up in the news today, we'll talk about pre-orders for Waves 1 and 2, the 30th anniversary figures and vehicles. Should be fun. We're getting fed a pretty decent amount of almost a weekly dose of movie news, aren't we, Justin?
We are.
So we're getting a little spoiled here. So we'll talk about the latest quote from Lorenzo about The Rock and Ninja Action, and we finally got some eye candy with Adrian Palecki. Am I saying that right?
I think so, yeah. That sounds about right. I just know her as Wonder Woman. So.
But she's being cast as Lady J, we think. If you if you're a first class subscriber to the Collectors Club newsletter, you should have gotten it last week, and we'll go over that inside with some news about the upcoming subscription system, which we will probably spend a considerable amount of time talking about. A little bit later in the show segment, we'll be playing Taps and Lowering the Flag on the Pursuit of Cobra line. But before we can tie a red bow in the line and send it into retirement, we've got to list off our best and worst of the line, so that should be fun. And so sit back, relax. And we'll talk about what's on Joe Mine. Greg, it's over to you for the mailbag.
Okay. First email came from Chase. Chase says, I have a question for Justin. Will you be completing your Dio story with the final section, or is the project not being worked on anymore? Also, thank you for making a great podcast. It has really inspired me to get back into collecting after a 2-year break. You brought the passion back to this 15-year-old kid. Thanks. First of all, Chase, you've got to be the youngest collector that I've heard of for Joe, so congratulations. Justin, what's the answer?
That's awesome. I love hearing about corrupting the minds of our youth. That's great.
Well, further proof we need to keep Chuck under watch.
Chase, that's poutine, okay, Chase? You didn't hear that other word. It's poutine. The Dio story is it's going slow, but it is still going. I do have all the sets built. The script has been written for going on 2 years now. It's funny. I do my recording for the podcast out in my garage, just so I don't disturb the family while the wife's trying to get the kids in bed and stuff. And the garage right now has got about a 10-foot square section that is cordoned off with various different sets. You know, one's kind of a big elaborate jungle set. Anybody who's been looking at my reviews recently has probably kind of seen it in backdrops. Just kind of some wooden ruins and some jungle scenery and some things like that. That is a set for the final Dio story. I've got a nice little Cobra Temple set that was built for me by an awesome guy from JoeCustoms.com named Capolin, who built that for me a number of years ago, and I've been taking very good care of it, kind of waiting for it to show it off. Everything is written. It's just more of a time situation. I'm currently going to school as well as doing all my other hobby stuff and work stuff. So it's just a matter of finding the time to shoot pics and edit and do all that stuff. But I am not going to let it die. I promise that it will be finished at some point. When that specific point is, I don't really know. But basically, everything is ready for me to just jump in, start taking pictures and doing Photoshop. And to me, the hardest part is the set building and the script writing. The rest of it's fun, so I should hopefully be able to find some time. I know I graduate next May. I'm hoping I don't have to wait for that point before I can keep working on it again, but that's kind of where it stands. I'm a little bit discouraged because I had a pretty cool twist planned for like the first episode. That pretty cool twist that I thought was really unique and really interesting, I guess wasn't as unique and interesting because it's something that has been done recently by somebody else. So now that kind of took a little bit of the wind out of my sails, but you know, I'll try to put my own little twist on it and see if I can still make it fun. But that's about where it stands. It's not dead. It's coming along just kind of slow. I appreciate you asking though. It's cool that people are still thinking about it. I don't know how many fans that are around now were around while I was kind of doing the weekly episodes for about 3 years straight, driving my wife crazy. But, I definitely plan on finishing it off at some point soon.
Cool. I know I mentioned it before, but you know the Dio stories and the Price of Peace, the fan fiction is what got me back into Joe or helped me get back into Joe. So it's good to hear that you're still working on it.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
All right. Moving on to our next question. This one is from Luke. Luke says, "Hey, chaps. Just thought I'd drop you a line to let you know how great I think the podcast is. I love this thing. It's such a breath of fresh air to be able to break out a cup of tea and tune into a bunch of like-minded guys talking about my favorite hobby. I have been a Joe fan since the age of four. The first thing I ever got was a Blizzard figure. I remember when I was a kid, they sold old VHS episodes of the Sunbow series, sticky taped to carded figures, and it was one of these Captives of Cobra, stuck to the Crimson Twins 2-pack that ignited my love for all things Joe. Unfortunately, I feel kind of like this obsession and love for Joe is a curse. I'm British.
Oh, God save the Queen!
If you're a Joe fan and you're in Britain, you are in trouble, dude. We have nothing. Hearing you guys talk about how certain stores have limited offerings, dudes, I have nothing. I have to order my things from wherever possible. eBay is my only really real option. To hear you all talk about con exclusives and chase figures is heartbreaking to me. I have to bend over backwards to get stuff. My girlfriend goes absolutely crazy when I buy something for £5, about $7, figure, when the shipping is like triple that. Still, us Joe fans will find ways to get our figures, and I pull in lots of overtime for these bad boys. Furthermore, I got no one to share this love of Joe with. Nobody over here cares about it, or even knows about it. When I dragged my missus to Rise of Cobra, we were the only people in the theater. I work as an actor, so I'm currently trying so hard to get my agent to find a casting for the big sequel. Even to be a Viper or a Green Shirt or get shot would be massive for me. Mainly, I'm hoping.
Pow, done. Thank you. Here's your check.
But mainly, I'm hoping for this line of work will get me over to the States and I finally be able to go to conventions. Anyways, I've gone on for too long. I love your show. Please let me know if there's any more Brits out there who like Joe. And how the bleep do I get these figures and feed this habit? eBay is cool, but there must be a cheaper way. There must be one shop over here that sells G.I. Joes. There must be. Cheers, guys. Give me a shout-out on your show. Help me get an audition.
Well, here's your shout-out, Luke. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Luke. They're shooting in New Orleans this fall, supposedly. So hop on a plane, come on over, and give it a shot. You don't know.
Oh, you like the French Quarter. Oh, yeah. It was a good time during the con there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't have the wife, though. But the short answer to the long letter, and first of all, thanks for writing. We appreciate I didn't get a chance to say last week when the guy from Japan wrote. We really appreciate you guys taking time to overseas to write us and tell us that you're listening to the show. But the short answer to this long letter here is you are in luck over in UK. BloodForTheBaron.com. They are a site that mainly specializes with Action Force and some of the early Action Force history that predates Hasbro. You might want to hit that site up and start networking, because I'm sure there's more than one Brit and a fellow countryman that's on that particular board. In terms of listening to the show, I know there's at least four or five geo hits that we get from Britain alone, or from the UK alone, excuse me. So there are people out there, and I would suggest starting at Blood for the Baron. There was also, this is on Facebook, there was just recently an unofficial convention over there. I just got to find it here real quick. An exclusive of the Kraken and a tank in his chest.
Oh, man. You know, I remember seeing that. I don't remember what the dates and the details were, but I do remember seeing that, yes.
All the Cool Stuff is the name of the shop. I'm trying to look at Facebook right now, the wonders of the internet, where they're located.
Show prep, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, lack of. It's in Fording Bridge, High Street in Fording Bridge, wherever that is. I don't know how that is in relation to you, but apparently they had a nice size show over there where they actually had an exclusive in the whole nine yard. You can find their website at www.allthecoolstuff.co.uk. And then anybody else listening from the UK that hasn't found Blood for the Baron, it's all one word, bloodforthebaron.com. Hit probably one or both of these sites up. Looks like I found all the cool stuff from Blood from the Baron. So I would hit up those two sites, and I would start networking with folks. I think you're in luck.
All right. And then on to our final mailbag question for the day. This one is from Josh. A.K.A. Tracer. He says, "Hey, I've been listening to the show and finally I've caught up on the episodes. Here's my question, and I apologize if you have already answered and I just missed it. You all discuss the new Joe figures a lot and what you got in this week, but do you collect classic Joes as well, or just the new stuff? I recently got back into collecting Joes and have been going back and forth between new and old Joes, and was just curious your collecting habits. Thanks." Well, we can all answer it in turn, but for myself, I don't collect any of the older Real American Hero figures anymore. I completely respect people that still do, and that's if you want to go back and collect them, that's awesome. But for me, I like the older vehicles because I think they still fit well with the new figures. Like, I picked up the Transportable Tactical Battle Platform last year, which is fantastic, and I also got Tomahawk earlier last fall sometime. And I've been slowly picking up different pieces just as I see them, because the vehicles really from Real American Hero aged, I think, pretty well. But the only thing that might get me to pick up some new stuff is with the OSC stuff. I'm still on the fence on if I'm going to sign up for that subscription or not.
Do it. Do it.
No kidding.
We'll see. But that's for me. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I collect the hell out of the old stuff. I mean, I don't buy a whole lot anymore. I started buying this stuff in 1982, and I've never really sold off mass amounts of my collection in that time, so I've probably got a couple thousand vintage figures. I love them. They each have their own individual charms, and depending on what I want to use them for will determine whether or not I go for a vintage figure or a more modern figure. But it's tough for me to compare the two just because they're so different. They're from different eras, they're different design ideas, different kind of reasons for their existence. The old figures were for playing and getting dirty and smacking around. The new figures are, frankly, more for kind of putting on shelves, displaying, and, putting them in cool poses that maybe not quite as rough and tumble as the old stuff was. But I absolutely love the old stuff. I wouldn't trade any of my old stuff for anything, any of the new stuff. But obviously, I've got my own share of love for the new stuff too. But yeah, I've got a ton of it, and I love it. And we would probably, I would think we would talk about it more if there wasn't so much damn news. But all the new product coming out, all the movie stuff, everything, it's kind of tough to work in our favorite vintage discussions. But I would assume as things kind of slow down, maybe in 2013, we can talk about that stuff a little bit more.
Well, I know that we have, we've tried to plan in, especially when it looks like it's going to be a slow news week. Hey, yeah, that's where we can do some vintage discussion here. Oh, hey, yep. We can talk about the Marvel comic here. And, you know, lo and behold, we'll have, you know, two castings for the movie and, you know, certain product breaks news and we'll have to obviously report on. For me, yeah, I got it. It's almost an afterthought for me because I've had it around for so long. The current buzz is the modern era stuff, and that's what a lot of the people are interested in. But yeah, I do collect the vintage stuff. I have pretty much everything from 82 to 87, and then there's a fairly large gap in the collection as priorities changed as a kid. You know, girls started to become more interesting. Sports was a lot more interesting than collecting Joes. So, but starting of about 2000 on, actually 98 on, I'm complete all the way around. So, yeah, I do have a fairly large collection as well. But it's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, as we're talking about the movie and the old movie and the 25th line and now the 30th line, The Pursuit of Cobra, it's almost an afterthought. You kind of take it for granted. It's like, ah, yeah, you don't really talk about it because most everyone, when you go to meets and whatnot, they're sitting there and they're talking about the new stuff. But, Chuck, do you have any of the old stuff left?
Well, I mean, I still have a lot of the old figures. I mean, I don't know what condition they're in, but I don't actively look for and buy them. And the big issue with that is cost, because, you know, I mean, back when I was buying them, the figures were $5 a shot, and now they're anywhere upwards between 30 and up. And, you know, I just really can't justify paying $30, $40, $50 for something that's $5 worth of toy. You know, especially considering that I get it, I open it up, and it falls apart in my hand because the rubber band dried out or, you know, the plastic snaps. You know, I sitting here listening to everyone else, I was thinking, you know, is there a figure I would be interested in? And really, the only figure I would be interested in buying vintage would be Rampart, because I always liked his the guns, like the over-the-shoulder, underslung. I liked his character in the cartoon as, like, the video game guy. But I just know, you know, at some point that he will probably get, like, an update or a reissue. So, you know, there's really no point to that. In terms of the vehicles, the furthest back I've gone in terms of, like, buying the vehicles is I bought a direct-to-consumer Rhino. And I think it was after seeing a video, not a video, but the review on Just Insight, I'm like, oh. And the Sigma 6 cartoon, because it was featured in the Sigma 6 cartoon, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh. The helicopter comes out. And, you know, it reminded me of this.
The simple things, folks. It's the simple things.
The helicopter. It comes out.
Yeah.
Sold.
Where do I sign? Yeah, exactly. That was basically it. And I'm like, you know, and also it reminded me of this old show from the 80s about where a guy drove a tractor trailer and it opened up and it had a helicopter in it. But the thing is,
What show was that?
You know, I want to say,
I was getting ready to say B.J. McKay, but that's not right.
I know. Highwayman was all about those tractor-trailer trucks, but I don't remember a helicopter in that one.
I know Knight Rider rode up in the back of one.
Well, no, it wasn't Knight Rider, but I want to say it was like a TV version of Road Warrior.
Yeah, I think you might be thinking of Highwayman. Is it Highwayman or Highway something or other?
I don't know.
Had that dude Jacko from the Duracell commercials in it, or the Energizer commercials?
Oh, oi.
Oi.
Oi, yeah.
You remember, guys, you are a couple of years older than me, so you remember stuff.
How can you remember that show? Last week I talked about Bring 'Em Back Alive.
You're asking me about, like, Energizer and stuff, and I don't remember Energizer.
Yes, it's Highwayman, The Wonders of Google. Highwayman.
Oh,
Oh, ignore that banner ad. That's great. My laptop gets infected with viruses here.
Yeah, you're starting to break up there a little bit.
High-tech, heavily armed, 12-ton black Mack truck featured on the adventure The Highwayman. And, yeah, and there's a helicopter built right inside it. Wow, that looks really funky.
Yeah, so that's basically why I went for the Rhino. And
Greg, put that in the show notes, would you?
And to be honest, I was a little disappointed because it really didn't fit the 25th anniversary figures well, because this is before I found out that, you know, that they actually weren't a size-for-size match, even with the peg holes. I mean, that was, you know, but, you know, I was able to use it, but, I mean, that's the only one.
Helicopter comes out.
But what I find funny, though, is you know,
but the helicopter, it comes out.
The helicopter, Charles. Think about the helicopter.
It's funny that you can actually find some vintage figures cheaper than their new era, new sculpt counterparts. A great example is Sergeant Slaughter, who you can get, like, the sealed mail-away Sergeant Slaughter for $35, while his San Diego Comic-Con exclusive goes for $50 plus. So, in that regard, I guess it would pay to buy the vintage version.
Okay.
That's it, I'm done. If you guys want to just go on about the helicopter some more...
We'll have to...
Dude, I'm checking out the Highwayman. This show
I tell you what, Highwayman is a long way from BJ McKay, I'm telling you right now.
This thing looks badass. It's got like... The front passenger seat of the truck doubles as a cockpit for the helicopter, so the helicopter isn't just in it. Like, the truck is the freaking helicopter.
When is the last podcast I'd ever talked about the Highwayman?
I don't know.
BJ McKay and his best friend.
When
Bear.
Will the next one be is my bigger question.
And there's
not
a guy in the show that looks like Road Pig, the Dreadnought.
Yeah, that's Jacko. That's the battery guy.
Oi!
That's him.
Yeah.
All right. Trip down memory lane. Thanks, Chuck.
Now, before we move on, and since we just got cemented ourselves with 80 television, we did get a letter, Greg, that we're not reading, that says that the Final Countdown did exist, and I'm not the only one that was making that crap up about the Nimitz going back in time.
How convenient that you don't have the letter available.
Yeah, no kidding. But
yeah, very convenient.
I'm going to spend some time talking about it, because you guys are like... You're such a geek, you know. Come on, man. The Final Countdown. I hope one of you guys watched it this week. Did you?
No.
Yeah.
I listened to Chuck's little rendition of ELO's The Final Countdown about 800 times on the That was fascinating.
Whoa. Yeah, Europe.
Whoa, dude. Whoa,
Europe
whoa.
Just cringed.
Or wait, Europe, was it ELO or was
it's
it
Europe?
Europe.
Yeah. Europe. All right, my bad.
Europe. Whoa.
80s TV.
ELO. 80s Jeff Lynne. Europe is... Oh, wow, dude. Wow.
Did I just lose my street cred?
No. No, it's just a fact. But anyways, yes, you guys, you need to watch The Final Countdown.
Yeah, Gary, I went to my local Blockbuster, the one that hasn't been closed.
The one that hasn't been closed?
Yeah, that's what I just said, the one that hasn't been closed yet. They said that there's no such movie exists that's called The Final Countdown.
Chuck?
Blockbuster knows all.
Chuck, there's a reason why they're going out of business. They just don't have the good movies.
Wait, Gary, do I have to go to one of those special video stores to find this?
You don't already?
Not to find this.
We'll get the final song.
All right, Chuck, just go to it. Just find your favorite BitTorrent site. I'm sure you can find it there. It's worth a buy anyways.
BitTorrent, yeah. I mean, Justin was just talking about viruses on his computer. Ooh, baby. I might as well just throw my laptop out after going to one of those sites.
It's on... Okay, Gary is redeemed. It's on Rotten Tomatoes with a whopping score of 50%. 10 reviews, 5 fresh, and 5 rotten.
Thank you. It's nothing like seeing F-14s go head-to-head against a pair of Japanese Zeros.
The USS Nimitz, a modern-day nuclear-powered aircraft carrier captained by Kirk Douglas, passes through time warp and finds itself at Pearl Harbor on December 16th, 1941. Wow. That's
December 6th, yeah.
Greg, you're the showrunner. Why don't you keep this on topic?
All right. All right, Greg says move on, so it's time to move on. But I encourage everyone to go find the Final Countdown and watch it, and you will like it. I guarantee it. I don't care what Mike said, my good buddy Mike, Torpedo Mike, said. It's a good movie.
If you're having trouble getting the kids to bed, put that on.
There you go. It sure beats Barney. Come on. Let's go, Greg.
All right, that is it for the mailbag. And we are now moving on to news for the week.
It's not spam.
All right.
And the first thing for news is actually pretty cool. We received word that the first assortment of the 30th anniversary figures, which is due in August, will consist of four repacks. So it'll be Steel Brigade, Cobra Trooper, Iron Grenadier, and Cobra Viper. And then also the Sergeant Stalker and Hazard Viper. That'll be in one assortment. And then assortment two, which is due in September, will consist of four Renegades figures, Duke, Cobra Commander, Firefly, and Snake Eyes. And there's a little disparity between what Small Joe's is saying and what Big Bad Toy Store is saying for what actually is going to be in these cases. But I went ahead and pre-ordered them both, and doubles of assortment one, so I can hopefully get up to a few more Troopers and Vipers. Did you guys also pre-order them, or are you going to wait?
The nice thing about the Renegades one is there's nothing really to troop build in it. So no. You're pretty much good for getting one case, and you're good to go. Now, if you're a troop builder, Wave 1 is all in your wheelhouse. I mean, that's everything, but... Well, actually, you can even troop build that Hazard Viper if you really want to. But, you know, what are you going to do with 80 Stalkers? So, but Stalker is cool. I mean, they're reusing the Resolute Head, right?
Yeah, it's the Resolute Head with the dreadlocks, and it looks like the entire body is pretty much that Pursuit of Cobra Wave 3 Snake Eyes that is completely badass. They could use that body for every figure from here on to eternity, and I'd be happy.
Well, that's definitely a slick-looking figure, and I, you know, it's tough to say. I would say that's probably even the diehard army builders. That's probably the figure of the that makes that entire wave that right there, and it makes it worthwhile alone to get it. But I'm pre-ordered on both, and patiently we'll wait. I'm with Small Joe's, so Corey, anytime you want to pass us some advertising dollars, you can go right ahead.
Yeah, I pre-ordered too. I will admit the first assortment was a little bit disappointing. I was hoping maybe, you know, it wouldn't be quite so repack heavy, or maybe the repacks would be scattered among different.
And that Viper will have the running change in it.
Right, yeah. The Viper's got the red arm guards, which is cool. Besides that, I mean, the only real change beyond that was the Iron Grenadier, which actually has less paint than he did before for some weird reason. I don't know why they just omitted the gray camouflage. I would have rather they put them maybe in like a black and gold and red color scheme or something like that if they were going to try to save some paint dollars. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. I got to admit I'm not kind of with the crowd. I'm not a big fan of the Hazard Viper / Volcano Viper figure. It's, you know, it's neat looking, I guess, but it really can't move much at all. So it doesn't trip my trigger a whole lot.
I think a lot of that has to do with the mystery surrounding what we originally saw.
True.
Coming out of China.
Yeah, I can see that. And with the Volcano Viper being canceled for a short period of time, you know, that kind of probably drove up his desirability a little bit. But, I mean, I've got three Volcano Vipers. They're cool. I could use them for background fodder and for certain things. But, you know, that... they're not really poseable, especially once you get all that gear on them. So, I mean, I don't know. They're all right. I love that. I like that Stalker a lot more, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're not the only one there. Chuck, are you on board with this wave?
Well, I haven't pre-ordered them. You know, I'll wait to see them in the stores. But one thing that's good is, like, instead of buying additional Steel Brigade, Viper, and Cobra Trooper from the last wave of Pursuit of Cobra, I can just get them from the first wave here. One thing I noticed, and because we've seen the Viper and the Trooper and the other figures in package, is, you know, the Viper is coming with all these additional guns instead of his rocket launcher. You know, that's that variant besides the... you know, the red arm guards. And, you know, Justin and I were talking before the show. I noticed that the guns he came with, one of them was that Rock Viper sniper rifle. I don't know if the Viper's going to be able to hold that. I mean, this is the problem with the first time we got this guy, was that he really couldn't hold his rifle. And the fact that Justin and I agreed that, you know, it's not that he can't hold any gun, he just couldn't hold that gun. Well, I didn't see him coming with any guns that he can hold this time either, because I know with the Rock Viper, he had his right hand had that separate trigger finger, and I remember that made a big difference in getting that gun into his hand. So, as far as I know, unless someone's heard something, they're not remolding that Viper's hand at all. So, I mean, it's a nice figure, but I don't think it's going to be able to do much of anything.
See, you mentioned before about the hands, but I mean, other than not being able to hold the rifle that it comes with, you can put different rifles in and it seems to hold them fine. Just having the articulated wrists like it does, where they bend up and down, I think that helps a ton for holding weapons. It may not be the weapons they come with, but, I mean, they can still...
Well, no. I mean, it can hold a weapon. It's just that it'll be another case of him not being able to hold the weapon he came with. And, you know, that's a little annoying on my end. You know, I mean, I'd like him to be able to hold... If he comes with a rifle, I want him to be able to hold that rifle, not the rifle from another figure that I have packed away, that I have to drag out just to make sure he can hold a rifle. You know, it's... Now, in terms of the Hazard Viper, you know, one thing I remember from the cartoons as well as in the comics is that, you know, guys like the Hazard Viper, the Data Viper, the Televiper, and even, you know, the Techno Vipers, these were guys who were more the workforce of Cobra, and really, you know, you wouldn't see them out in the field fighting. You know, these were the guys, so that's where I see the Hazard Vipers, that these are the guys who are going to be doing, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff, dealing with chemicals.
And yeah, they're supposed to be doing the containment of the Compound Z.
Exactly. So I see them doing that when you have, then, you know, in front of them, you have a battalion of regular Vipers who's the security. You know, so they really, in my opinion, really wouldn't need to be able to move that much, you know, like in fighting poses, because they're not going to be fighting.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it looks like, I'm not sure what the original Volcano Viper had for arms, but it's looking like the Hazard Viper has Skydive's arms.
So yeah, they did change those arms up a bit, which does help. But I mean, I don't know. Yeah, even if they're not in battle poses or action poses, as somebody who kind of uses these figures sometimes to tell a story, it's tough when figures can't hold a variety of poses, because when you have like three Hazard Vipers in the background, they're all just standing in the exact same pose doing the exact same thing. And it's a little gripe, I guess. But
well, they had the first ones that came out had rather bulky hands, if I remember correctly.
They had the same arms, I think, that all those crappy Rise of Cobra Troopers, Neo Vipers, and all those guys did, with that funky forearm guard and those weird hands.
And yeah, and it was the rifle choice for them had a finger or finger guard in front of it.
Yep.
And it was like really, really tough to get that to get them to hold on to that. But he is awkward. Yeah, he is kind of background fodder. You know, if you're a fan of Jules Verne, here we go. We get the intellectual portion of the program. Very Jules Verne-esque, even, you know, with it, where everything, it looks like something that you would see from, you know, some early 1900s sci-fi of what they expect the Martians to look like. So the design itself is still solid and it still works. But in terms of its actual usefulness, just kind of stand in the background, put her on a shelf. But in Justin's case, it's a little bit more difficult for you.
Nah, sometimes. I mean, I don't even know if I have a use for them, but when I'm doing reviews and stuff, you want to take dynamic pictures of them doing different things. There's only so many times you can take a picture of a guy standing there with his hands at his side, or with one elbow bent holding a gun, or, you know, whatever. You know, maybe once I take the gear off and mess around with it a little bit, I can tweak things some, but it just seems kind of boring. If I'm going to take 30 pictures of something for a review, I want to have a little variety to it.
Now, one thing that we haven't really talked about in this new segment, I mean, we just kind of glossed them over really quick, were the Renegades figures. What do we think of those? Yeah. And maybe too little too late, I guess.
I think in a few different ways it's too little too late. I'm not going to say too little, because the figures are awesome. These figures look awesome, this first batch of four.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's too little too late for the show, actually.
Right, exactly.
Thank you for the figures, for sure.
Yeah, but I think you're right. They're hitting so late in the process, and with the show already canceled, you have to wonder what the chances are of us seeing a whole lot more than what we've already seen. I mean, is Hasbro going to invest a lot of production dollars in making these figures for 2012 that are just going to get pushed aside for the movie in the summer, especially if the rumors are true and that Star Trek II isn't going to make its summer date, and so Rise of, or the G.I. Joe sequel may be bumped up to a June time frame. All of a sudden, we're running out of time to get figures out in 2012.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would not be surprised to see that this particular wave, albeit it's small, be difficult to find. And maybe a pre-order to Big Bad or Small Joe's or Entertainment Earth or whoever your favorite online house would be might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Yeah, I mean, I just want to see them out there some way, somehow, in some form. I mean, you know, I don't want to get too. I'll start weeping if I talk about it too much.
I just hope to God that Hasbro doesn't do the same thing they just did the past year with Transformers, where they, like, were rushing waves out one after another to get the figures out, and then what happened is you had stores going into a buying freeze that they stopped ordering figures in like March to make sure the shelves were clear for when they did the May rollout for Dark of the Moon, because that would really screw up G.I. Joe bad to the point you know where you would have these like whole waves would just start showing up in Ross and other discount stores. So, you know, I'd rather they just take their time. But I mean, I gotta say, I mean, I'm confused. I mean, how much more anime could they have made those Renegades figures? Because they look pretty, anime to me. I mean, they look like they're cartoon characters. So.
Well, from what I heard, it could have been a lot more animated.
I mean, I've heard the same thing. Yeah,
like, I don't think we're talking like no line contours on the figure, like very kind of sleek, proportioned, maybe kind of like the Justice League figures, but with better articulation. I mean, from what I can't speak on it really accurately. It's only like whispers and innuendos that I've heard anything about it. But it's from what I heard, the figures looked amazing, but probably would have pissed off every single Joe collector out there.
Death of the line, death of the line.
Yeah.
Also, here we wanted to talk about the vehicles that were involved. And actually, we're kind of blessed because two of us here on this program have at least one of the vehicles. Greg, did you get a chance to open up your Black Dragon? Or, sorry, did you get a chance to open up your girlfriend's Black Dragon and take a look at it?
Yeah, I did.
That sounds... is that a euphemism, Gary?
Moving on quickly.
I think
it was one of the first things I opened up when I got back.
She doesn't listen to the show, right?
No, she doesn't, thankfully.
All right, there we go.
What are you worried about? She probably would like it.
Probably, yeah. Except she hears enough of my voice during the day, so she doesn't need to hear it when she's driving to work as well.
It's the soothing tones of Charles.
Yes. Anyways, the Black Dragon. I wasn't planning on getting it if it was going to be in stores. And
well, hell, if you're going to get it free, what are you complaining for?
I know, that's the thing. But really
I wasn't planning on getting it. I got it for free.
Beforehand, I wasn't. I mean, it looked neat and it looked okay, and I. The Fang 2 was one of my first vehicles I ever got, so I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of a cool update to the Fang 2. But it's really grown on me as it's been sitting around. I've been playing with it a little bit more, and I think everyone's going to complain that, oh, it's not the right size. Oh, it's not as big as it is in the show. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what you can say to those people anymore.
Use your imagination.
Yeah, grow up a little bit. Or actually, no, pull yourself down to a kid's age and think, you know, this is cool that... It looks like what's in the show, and it's got the awesome bomb-dropping features, and I really like that, like Justin had mentioned on the pre-production one, but it doesn't have the stickers. It's got the painted-on tempo for all the, like, the no step here and stuff like that, and the production version is exactly the same. There was no stickers to apply, so that was nice. You just take it out of the box and snap on the wings, and you're good to go.
And on the whole scale conversation, I mean, I really don't get those complaints, because if you look at the vintage line... I mean, what vehicles were in scale compared to the cartoon and the vintage line? I mean,
none of that
like
stuff was
thousands of Cobra Troopers.
None of that stuff was in scale. Cartoon. None. Of, I mean, look at the 21st century Super Cobra helicopter, which is basically the Marines' version of the Dragonfly.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's night and day different.
Scale's never been a big thing.
Right.
As far as vehicles go.
BBI's version of the F-18 is like twice the size of what the Sky Striker is. I mean, so don't complain too much, but still, I didn't think we'd be getting the Black Dragon altogether, knowing how everything they were cutting it back. So I'm glad we're getting it. So all right.
Sorry, Greg. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to talk about the pilot.
Well, what I was going to say is you
shut up, Chuck. I want to hear about the pilot.
There's only one.
Just kidding, Chuck. Just kidding.
Yeah, you know I'm ignoring you. And it was like the $100 giant Millennium Falcon. Now, let me ask you. I mean, they have a hard time getting, you know, $30 vehicles in a store. You know, who in their right mind would carry a $100, you know, helicopter from a cartoon that's no longer on the air? You have to think about it like that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the correct point.
Yeah, but if I remember, the 21st century stuff really wasn't that expensive to begin with. But anyways, moving on.
So the pilot real quick, because I know that this is one thing. Justin didn't get the pilot with his, and so I thought I could give my exclusive review of it. The one good thing about what looks like the 30th anniversary is doing that Pursuit of Cobra did not, and we can touch upon this a little bit later, is the figures that get packed in with the vehicles actually get more than 2 seconds of attention. The pilot, I think it's just Black Dragon Pilot or something. It's not a special name, but it has the paint apps on it. There's actually more than two colors. Like, you know how with the Vamp with Clutch, how he was just green and he had like black on a couple spots here and there.
Yeah.
This one actually has like detailed paint apps, and it has the Wild Bill vest from Rise of Cobra that's painted up really nice, and it looks very cool. I think they did a really good job with it. So hopefully it looks like from the pictures that's what the new His Tank is going to come with, a neat new figure. And
what was the character's name, the vehicle driver? Just
I think it's
Black Dragon Pilot.
I might be wrong. I don't know.
What was it called?
Greg probably knows better, but
don't have the file card in front of me. I don't remember it offhand.
Well, normally it's you get a new vehicle and then just like a repainted figure that goes as a driver, and it's nice to get a new driver and a new vehicle in the same package.
Yeah, and the head sculpt looks like it's brand new. I don't recognize it from anything else. So that's, I mean, just cool little touch there into the figures instead of just putting in whatever and saying, okay, good to go. So that was appreciated. I like that they did that.
All right, Greg, move us on.
Yep, let's keep on trucking. Next up in the news is we have two bits of movie news. The first one is from G.I. Joe producer Lorenzo Bonaventura, I believe is how his name is pronounced. He had a video interview that's been transcribed talking about the sequel, and he's quoted as saying that Roadblock is a full-on lead role. In a way, he and Snake Eyes, their stories are really dynamic and very important. And then he goes on to say, the ninja fans are going to love it. There's a tremendous amount of it. Talking about ninja action, I'm guessing.
Yay.
What's interesting is we both have that going on in the Snake Eyes story, but we found a way to bring that element into the Joe's story. I think anybody who's a fan of dark, in the middle of the night action with a dangerous foe arriving, this is a movie for you. So what do you guys think of the little blurbs that he gave about the movie?
Well, I think you got to take anything that Lorenzo Bonaventura says with a little bit of grain of salt, because I know a couple months ago he had a pretty well-publicized spat with Paramount that was actually, I think, centered around the fact that John Chu was directing the G.I. Joe sequel, and it kind of spiraled from there. So I don't know how much insight. I mean, I know he's got some level of insight, but
you're right. He is hot and cold.
Yeah. But, you know, he's going to say whatever he thinks people want to hear. I mean, ninjas are cool. You know, to G.I. Joe fans, ninjas aren't cool. Ninjas ruined the brand and all this other malarkey or whatever you want to get into. But to the general public, ninjas are cool. So he's talking up the movie and saying, yeah, there's lots of ninja action. That's what he's doing. And I don't think it's anything to really be majorly concerned about. And especially because Rhett Reese actually came on, I think he came on histank.com. He posts on there as under the screen name Muggle, I think is his name, M-U-G-G-L-E. And he interacts with people a little bit there, not a whole lot, a little bit. And one thing he actually made sure to touch on was that, yes, there are some ninja stuff going on, And actually, I've got the quote of the post right here. He says, "Well, you're finally getting a sense of the cast. Still more to come, obviously. A couple biggies in particular. Lorenzo was speaking the truth. Ninjas do play a part in G.I. Joe 2, but don't worry. There's plenty of non-ninja stuff. There are some things about the story I can't wait to confirm because you purists will be happy. And we have the movie's title now, still top secret. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, no javelins." And, of course, this came after Lady J's casting news, so he's kind of making a little joke about Lady J. But, I mean, everybody knows Snake Eyes is the most popular G.I. Joe character. Whether or not the Joe fans want to admit it or whether or not we want it to be that, that's what it is. And Snake Eyes is a ninja, and like it or not, that's what a lot of it is going to focus on. And people should have known by now. I mean, some of the first few casting things we've gotten were, you know, Snake Eyes, Jinx, and Blind Master. Well, yeah, Storm Shadow, too. There's four ninjas right there out of, you know, what, six or eight cast members that we have. So far, it's 50% ninjas. It only makes sense that, yes, there's going to be some ninja stuff going on. And I think there needs to be. I mean, there needs to be kind of a better exploration of Snake Eyes' backstory for this film to kind of progress from where it was. So I think it makes sense, and I don't think military fans are going to find it's a two-hour ninja movie. You know, it's not like Transformers where you go to see a Transformers movie and you see humans for an hour.
But then again, it's not going to be 2 hours of Black Hawk Down or Battlefield LA.
Exactly. Hopefully they'll find a way to kind of marry the two universes together and make it fun. But, I mean, you're introducing a wealth of audience to the G.I. Joe universe, many of them maybe for the first time. And whether we like it or not, ninjas are central to the G.I. Joe mythology. So you got to talk about them. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you didn't, you wouldn't be faithful to the spirit of the brand.
Well, if you think back on the first movie, they had the flashbacks. But the ninja aspect of it, I didn't think was that terribly long. I mean, the scenes were short, you know, and they kind of got the message across that how Snake Eyes came into it, and then he was getting beaten, and finally Snake Eyes turned a table, and then all the whole sudden thing with the master being killed and whatnot. But it wasn't a whole story of ninjas, and I gotta imagine with as much money they're gonna pay Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and you know some of these other actors, they're not going to center the entire movie around a character that doesn't talk at all. So just keep that in mind if you're like, oh, ninjas, you're going to get doses of ninja action, but I don't anticipate 2 hours of, you know, kung fu theater.
Right. And like it or not, I mean, if you're not going to have accelerator suits, which Rhett Reese has also confirmed via his Twitter page that there are no accelerator suits in the sequel, which will generate... If you're not going to have that stuff, you got to have some kind of eye candy. And ninjas are going to be... I can remember some of my favorite scenes from the Rise of Cobra film where watching Snake Eyes kind of run down the road, you know, flipping over the cars. Yeah, it's unrealistic, but you're seeing Snake Eyes do Snake Eyes stuff in live action. It's badass, and I think a lot of the audience is going to feel that same way, so you got to put a focus on it.
I think that's a good point right there about how, I mean, like you said, if you're not going to have the crazy suits doing ridiculous things, it's good to have action from both like a military action and also like ninja action. It's good to see that sort of stuff in a summer blockbuster movie that catches the eye.
Definitely.
Easily. And it makes for good, hey, let's show this 15-second clip at, you know, a convention. You can show martial arts action. That's good to see.
But you know what makes for a good movie also?
Mentioned Final Countdown again,
that's right. F-14s versus Japanese Zeros makes for a great movie. No, eye candy, man.
Oh, yeah, speaking of eye candy.
Yes.
Good segue. Right.
Thank you.
So subtle, we almost missed it.
Yes.
All right. The big casting announcement last week was that Adrian Pilecki from Friday Night Lights and last year from Lone Star has been cast as Lady J. She's also she was supposed to be in the Wonder Woman show that didn't get picked up, so which is why she was free to do the G.I. Joe show. But as someone that was a really big fan of Friday Night Lights and was sad to see it go, I think this is a pretty darn good casting choice. I mean, who knows how big of a part she's actually going to have in the movie, but she is a really good actress, and she is physically intimidating, I will say. She's probably taller than most of the actors that are going to be in this movie, so I think she's around 5'10", I want to say. Which in Hollywood is enormous for a female.
That's all. I'm glad you have that insight because I haven't seen anything that she's done besides seeing some, you know, bootleg clips of her running around in red and yellow tights, which isn't going to translate to Lady J very well. So I'm glad that somebody had some insight and could have checked it out. Because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, she's a woman who has brown hair. Sure, looks good to me. I don't really know her acting pedigree. I will probably check out some stuff that she's done. Has she done any movies, or has it all been TV?
Not that I've seen, but I'm sure. Let me check IMDb.
I seem to remember she's been in some, I don't want to say low-budget stuff, but she's been in some movies out there.
Oh, Legion, which came out
whenever that
was, last year maybe the year before. Yeah, she was in that, but I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so many people get so caught up in looks and, you know, oh, she's going to be perfect because she's got brown hair. Well, you know, whatever. There's hair dye in Hollywood, so I'm looking for somebody who's a good actress, and I'm glad to hear that she's, you know, maybe she's got a good pedigree. And Friday Night Lights is one of the, you know, as a big-time football fan, I've heard good things about that series. I never really got caught up in it myself, but yeah, if she displayed some good acting chops in there, then that spells good things, I think.
And the great thing about all this is we don't even know who Destro, Cobra Commander, and some of the other key villains are going to be. And in that article, they even mentioned something about Joe Colton being involved in this. So you know what this is just every time we get a piece of casting, you know, news, it's typically good news, and there's more good news to come. And remember, folks, this all leads into product and toys and action figures. And I think, getting, you know, some of these as toys later on down the line was fantastic.
Yeah, I got to admit, you know, whether or not, however the movie sequel turns out, however Rise of Cobra turned out, the months and year leading up to a movie release is some of the best and most fun time to be a fan of a property. I think regardless of how the movie is going to turn out, just finding all those new images, all these new things that are coming, these new trailers and video clips, there's just something about it that really gets my blood flowing. I really love kind of digging up this stuff and learning. It's like you're learning the mythology all over again. You know, I've known these characters for 30 years. Well, now I'm going to re-know them and relearn them in some new format. And it's just really cool to me to kind of be a part of that process as it ramps up towards the movie. So I'm really excited that there's all these kind of things popping out here and there. And it should be a fun year, that's for sure.
That's definitely for sure. And we'll keep everyone posted on any movie news that comes up, and we'll discuss it a little bit more.
Well, and then, do we want to mention who was attached to Joe Colton, or do we just want to leave it? Yeah, it was
a cast off line in one article, so I mean, it's worth mentioning, I think, for sure.
Yeah. None other than big time movie star, beloved movie actor Bruce Willis.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Mr. Falcon.
See, I was waiting for you to finish that line.
No, that would be more something that, you know, we would leave to Chuck to finish. I'll just go ahead and not set him up. Chuck will knock him down.
No.
Now, that'd be awesome if he was involved. I would love that. Even if it's just cameo scene as a grizzled veteran, I think badass.
Yeah. I mean, I know you guys were just talking about Lady J, and, you know, my thing is, from what I've heard about why Wonder Woman didn't get picked up, a lot of it had to do with the fact that this Adrian Palicki just could not act and really was not doing well. But to be honest, if you go back and look at Rise of Cobra, I mean, in my opinion, the worst aspects of the movie were the actresses. You really got the feeling, you know, some more than others, they just didn't want to be there. So
I hope that with Sienna Miller. I don't really feel that with Rachel Nichols. I don't think she had the greatest material to work with. And I think the Scarlet character in the Rise of Cobra film was a little bit cliched and a little bit flimsy, but I think she did pretty damn good with the material she had.
Well, there was also the one who played CoverGirl, the model.
True. Yep. No, I'll go on that.
Well, they all really seemed bored and flat. You know, that they really didn't want to be there. And not just in the movie, but it also transferred over into the promotion of side of the movie, whereas you had the guys thought this was the most fun they ever had in their lives, and you know the women were hoping that this wouldn't hurt their Oscar chances for whatever period piece they had a few months down the line.
I went and saw a charity screening of Rise of Cobra. It was the first time I saw the movie down in Providence, and Rachel Nichols was there kind of as a presenter for it, and she looked pretty into it then. But, and she looks a lot hotter in blue jeans than she does in black spandex, if you can believe that.
All right. Next on to our last bit of news for the week. This one was came in the Collectors Club newsletter, which Gary was able to receive a little, as usually gets a little.
I got it right here.
So you want to run us through a little bit of the news that we received about the subscription service?
Yeah, absolutely. Shared a little bit with Justin, and he has it up on his site where he kind of paraphrased the transcription that I gave him. Brian's intel is normally, it's a little column he writes inside the inside cover of every issue. He might as well just cut and pasted what he wrote last month. I mean, there was absolutely nothing new. So leave it to me to be a little surprised to see that David Lane was a little bit more forthcoming in his little From the Editor's Desk column he has. They're just basically reading what he says here. The hot topic of the summer is still our club-exclusive subscription figures. We're waiting on the cost evaluations from the factory in China on the 13 proposed 3¾-inch carded action figures. So it sounds like the list of 13 is finalized, if I'm reading this correctly.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true.
Okay. Again, the plan is to offer 2 figures per month for 6 months, 12 figures. We knew that. You will need to sign up and complete full purchase to qualify to receive the 13th carded figure free. We knew that. I have read many of your wish lists and wanted to clarify that we will not be re-releasing any of the mainline characters, figures that Hasbro has on their production roster. So anybody in the movie coming up, anybody that's probably coming out this year, it's probably, it's a no-go. So if you want to see a different version of Flint or whatever, you're probably not going to see him, because he's going to be in the movie line. So let's clarify that. Here's what he says. We can expect. You can expect more female characters, along with several new sculpted heads with a variety of Real American Hero classics, new sculpt era, and foreign characters. We'll have even more news to report after this year's San Diego Comic-Con event. And then he goes on to talk about some other stuff in the issue. But for that little blurb, that was quite a bit of news, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, and my, you know, as you were kind of transcribing that and sending it over to me, my eyes really perked up at the new sculpt era comments, because that that would make the whole subscription service to me. If they really kind of got into the new sculpt mythology and made some of those characters a priority, that would be awesome. That's something, you know, Hasbro probably isn't going to get around to. There's so much rich history there, so many great design schemes that would look awesome in the new sculpting format. I think that is a gold mine of material for them to work with, and I love that they mentioned that. That really makes me happy.
And actually, that, to echo you and someone else mentioned on your site, Justin, that's, I think, the possibility of new sculpt figures and their subscription service is what's getting me to sign up for it. I was on the fence mm-hmm. with this one too, because, you know, it's a big amount of money to lay down and say I'm not sure what I'm going to get with this. But yep. I think just the possibility that maybe Crosshair, maybe Barrel Roll, maybe Blackout. I mean, the possibilities of the figures are too much to pass up on. So I will be definitely signing up for that. Hopefully, sometime this week.
And I'm kind of wondering. I mentioned this off the cuff to Gary, and I don't know if this is true or not. But I'm wondering if they're holding off for San Diego Comic-Con to talk about it more, because we might actually see some stuff in San Diego. I don't know if we will or not, but that might be a good opportunity for them to kind of let some stuff out there. I know they've set up booths in the past. I think last year they even had the Adventure Team stuff out.
Yeah, they did. They did. So, they've done that before. And like I told you back, Justin, it's more of a fertile ground to look for new membership there versus at JoeCon when you're kind of preaching to the choir. Well,
yeah, I mean, I would say probably 75% to 80% of the people at a JoeCon are already members, so it's not like you're going to sell yourself to your existing client base. That'd be kind of foolish. So, I mean, maybe it's not 80%, but I would say a big percentage of people there are already members. So, yeah, I think San Diego Comic-Con is a perfect example. I mean, drawing all these people in with this great Starscream Sky Striker exclusive, these great Zorana exclusive, people are kind of navigating to that Joe area. That'd be a perfect time for them to kind of say, boom, you know, here's our new subscription service. This is what you're getting. This is maybe, you know, the first 4 figures or something like that. This is the price. You know, here you go. What do you say? So the more I think about it, the more I think it's possible we'll see something at Comic-Con. I don't want to get people's hopes up. I really don't know for sure, but that's kind of ringing like it'd be a good idea to me.
Well, from, you know, my perspective, I really don't have any of the new Sculpt-era figures, but I do know a little bit of the history. And the one story that was really interesting to me was that little bit between Crosshair, Blackout, and I think Bombstrike was their sister.
Barrel Roll,
Blackout, and Bombstrike.
Yep.
You know, and the fact that you had the sniper duel, that I thought was an incredible story. That, and I'm sorry, I don't know if they went anywhere with it.
Devil's Due was supposed to, and
they did. I mean, they did kind of. Brandon Jura, when he was piloting the line, kind of in the later months of his run, did explore the whole Blackout Barrel Roll. They actually went, you know, Tom Stahl was actually a recruit for the Joe team who ended up kind of walking them into a Cobra ambush or something and got some of them killed, and then he got imprisoned by the government because of his role in getting them killed and got rescued by Cobra and kind of worked into their organization that way. Devils Due really dove into it pretty deeply, actually. And they didn't really go into the whole bomb strike angle, I don't think, but you know, the whole Blackout Barrel Roll thing, they really did.
Yeah, but again, you know, my issue is unless I know what I'm getting month to month, I am not going to spend the money on the subscription. You know, because I assume now, just from what I've been hearing, it's you have to be a club member, which means I'd have to buy a club membership and then the subscription fee. Unless the three guys staring in front of me who are club members, two of which I know will probably buy more than one of each of the figure, would just funnel them off to me, which, you know, I do already for the Masters of the Universe Club, but that's a, you know, another tangent.
I'm not hooking you up with anything, man.
Funnel?
Paper like the rest of us, freeloader.
Chuck, I will help you out.
Yes, thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. Thank you. Because
for a nominal fee. I'm waiting for Chuck to blow up here. I got the finger on the button.
You know what it is? Here's the deal. I have a friend. I mean, some of the Masters of the Universe figures I like, some of them I don't. It's not worth it to me to buy a subscription. So it charges me cost and shipping. No bigs. I'm sure, and you know, it's like $35. I'm sure it'd end up being the same thing for the G.I. Joes. Maybe a little bit less because they're a smaller figure. But, you know, and this is the other point, too, you know, about seeing the figures up first. I mean, you figure there's a figure, what was it, two figures a month? Yes, no, guys?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Two figures a month for 6 months with a bonus 13th figure for if you sign up to the
subscription. All right. What if you only like five? I really don't think that the subscription would be worth it to you then.
Then you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you just sell off the ones that you would have bought for a profit.
Yeah, I think you can probably – club stuff sells for a premium. Club stuff rarely depreciates. So yeah. you would be just probably better served just to offer it up on eBay or – use it as trade fodder or something.
eBay's kind of iffy.
Do whatever. That Master Collector auction site. Do it there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Pat myself on the back for that. Yeah.
You know, took them 20 years to get off the ground. They've had like five lawsuits about or something like that, you know. Yeah. Use that.
I don't think there'll be an issue. I mean, for everyone that doesn't maybe care about the Nanobat or Quarrel, there's another person that, hey, that's one of them I'd definitely pick up. So I think there won't be an issue. If, like myself, I'm not going to keep all the figures, I'm sure. I'm sure there'll be ones that I'm just not interested in. I don't think it'll be hard finding someone who's is happy they don't have to sign up for the subscription.
I'm sure that with the listener base we have, there's someone who will step forward and say, Chuck, don't worry, I'll get you the figures. And to that person, I say thank you.
Do we have? I know we're kind of scrambling here on doing a little bit of reorganizing of our
you're
agenda.
Sharing some of the behind the scenes.
Yes, I know because we are obviously running long, but this is definitely a topic that we wanted to talk about. We know two figures right off the bat. Quarrel fulfills the international and the female figure aspect of this. The Nanobat will fulfill the canceled retail aspect of what the club is going for. what do we still think is out there on the agenda, or what do we think on your wish list? I mean, Greg, you mentioned a couple. I got to think now that New Sculpt is involved, that Munish is right back in play, being that it's a New Sculpt and female. I'm right with you on Blackout and Barrel Roll and Crosshair. I still think Iron Claw is on the radar, considering we've seen a basically an unpainted test shot of him, so we know that there's some existence up there of tooling for him out there. City Strike Scarlet with a new Scarlet head. It's never put it past the club to sculpt up a new head. I think you'll probably, like you said, need to see new head sculpts. That's probably one of them. Justin mentioned one to me that makes sense, considering that the club's success of Iron Grenadier line is Voltar, which I think would be funny to sculpt up a new head and see what he would look like. But then we also have really just a matter of changing some colors in his name, and then you got Footloose out there as well. I mean, what other things you think are out there on the horizon that we might see as part of this particular subscription? Oh, and Cover Girl goes without saying. I know I haven't really mentioned her, but I'm trying not to, you know, think of the possibility.
What?
October Guard, anybody?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
I can see
that's
that.
A possibility. I mean, it's the October Guard would be, yeah, I could see that happening. It'd be a little bit, I don't want to say a little bit boring, but I mean, you know, I'm probably going to earn the rage of Joe fans.
No, it's not boring. I think there's other characters we'd like to see first.
Yeah, that's probably better.
And that's kind of what I saw a raging debate on his tank, not to say that there's a raging debate ever on his tank, but, you know, someone says, what's up with all the female figures? And I kind of agree, but someone kind of fired back and said, well, I want diversity in my ranks. It's not that. It's not about diversity. It's not about race, sex, anything like that. It's like there's other figures I'd like to see first.
Right. I don't want them to do a female figure just for the sake of doing a female figure.
Night Stalker. You know, yeah. Here, Night Stalker. Yeah. No, don't. Because these are some precious 13 slots. I mean, it's just like wasting a question on your Q&A. Don't do that. I mean, it's going to be tough to make that one back. You might have to wait another year before you see, you know, someone that you really want. So who all is out there that we'd like to see, you know, before the October Guard? I mean, I got to think Footloose definitely has got to be out there. And
excuse me?
Target. You know, the Iron
crazy
Grenadier.
Crazy Iron Grenadier jetpack dude?
Yeah.
Wow. You had a weird childhood, didn't you, Chuck?
Wait, and then there was the other one that had the helicopter pack.
Oh, Annihilator. That's awesome.
Yeah. Annihilator. Yeah. There you go. There's two.
I don't think they'll make the short list for the subscription, but if I was given kind of a blank check and a blank which any fans out there are saying, thank God I haven't been, but
be neon, folks. They'd all be neon.
Eco Warriors. Everything.
Boxers on. That's all we need.
Headhunters.
I would make this a way to kind of, I know people have been, one thing that I kind of liked out of the Devil's Due series was the idea of the plague.
Oh, yes, yes.
Not something that has really been explored, and I know they've wanted the club to do stuff with a convention set for it, but you know that's a lot of figures. There's 13 Cobra guys alone, you know, a couple Joe guys probably to go with it. Doesn't really fit the format of a con set, so maybe they use a subscription service to kind of introduce the plague and give us Blackout and Munitia and a couple plague guys, and then build upon that and maybe work that into a convention set. I think that'd be really cool if they use the subscription to kind of start building on their existing universe and tie these characters into an ongoing continuity.
And you got to keep interest there to do this next year, too. This isn't going to be a one-year thing, or you'd hope to think that this isn't a one-year thing, that you got to build interest into next year. While we're talking about that, let's talk about real quick the figures that we're not going to see one more time, because I still keep seeing them mentioned online. Listen to the podcast, folks. Billy, no. Pythona, no. Sergeant Slaughter, no. Those are the three you'll definitely not see this time around. Stop asking.
Yeah, but I think the ones you mentioned, Gary, are probably good candidates, especially stuff like Footloose and Cover Girl that are pretty much no-brainers. They don't have to do a whole lot of new parts, just some paint, some little tweaks here and there. Those are pretty obvious, I think. You know, I'd be really shocked if we didn't get those. The Iron Claw, we know there's tooling already done for that. I think they'll probably think outside the box and surprise us on a couple of them. But
well, I hope that they're genuine surprises and not just
right.
Oh, hey, here's a White Mortal, really?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or hey, here's Invasor, really? You're just going to, you know, if they decide to go, and another thing I shared with you, Justin, kind of in the pre-show and off-air discussion is that new Flash figure for the Action Force they discovered, the Bombardier, a Bombardier, whatever they want to call them. I mean, that really looks like a fairly simple repaint, and I think that would be really rather cool to have, considering that most people don't even know anything about them.
Right. But I think that might be a reason why they don't do a figure like that to sell to. I mean, if you're trying to boost your membership, are you going to use a figure that nobody really knows about to do it? I mean, maybe you will, but
it would have to be like the free one or something like that. And, I mean, it's not going to be part of
the Nanobat's kind of the same thing. I mean, nobody outside the Joe community knows about that either. So, I guess I could see him doing that. Sure,
Chuck, do you have any particular wants that you want to see out of the line? I mean, You said that, you know, if you don't know all of them, you're probably not going to participate. So, you know, what would you like to see? What would be Chuck's Dreamline? Targat and who else?
13 Targats.
13 Targats?
One, two every month.
Targat, Annihilator, Budo, Blackout, his brother, whose name I can't remember, that Justin just told me 5 minutes ago.
What, Crosshair?
Barrel Roll.
Barrel Roll? Okay.
Good Lord.
Barrel Roll.
Did you drink your dinner tonight?
No. I wish. Other than I'm just thinking off the top of my head, you know.
No, this is good. This is good.
Dial tone with the baked beans.
Nice call. That's a good one.
Bullhorn.
Ooh, that was
you know, that is not far. That is something the club's done already, and the whole SWAT team minus Low Light, I would say, could be on the radar screen as well.
Okay, well, let's see. Here's the thing. The only reason I want Bullhorn is because I loved his little disassemblable sniper rifle that he could carry in that case. So as long as they include that, I don't care.
Once I can figure out what disassemblable means, then I'm all for it.
I'm sorry. The rifle you can break down, remember?
I'm just bugging. Come on.
There's somebody else in my head. Him.
I got Greg's groan. I need to record this because it will make a great sound effect. Just Greg's groan.
You know, when you said the SWAT team, except Low Light, but, you know, that would be good.
And Shockwave or whatever they want to call them.
They already did Shockwave.
Right.
They did Shockwave twice.
So they're not going to do them again, but you still have the other character, God dang it, it's escaping me now. It's probably late in the A. Justin, save me. Yeah, there you go. Long arm.
And then the other one I wanted that I'm sure Justin would like, you take the Tank Buster Duke that we got in the first wave of Pursuit of Cobra for 2011 with the, the one that came with the Aliens laser rifle. Mm-hmm. Do them all in, like, blue and yellow. You got Sigma 6 Duke.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, give them a couple modular weapons.
I would not rule out Sigma 6 if this is successful this year, because there were some, Justin, there were some 3 3/4 Sigma 6 ideas that Hasbro was working on before.
Not only that, but I think even if they got creative and they could do something like a Lieutenant Stone, even there,
use the power suits or something from the movie.
They could even use existing parts. I mean, Lieutenant Stone, the only thing really you have to worry about with him is a head with a beret and an eye patch. I mean, you could even use a bat arm for a cybernetic arm. You know, there's stuff you could do. I think some of that stuff might be on the table. I would keel over.
Sigma 6,
to say the least.
With that battle armor?
It could be messy.
I was paused. I was drinking. Dang it, Justin, don't do that.
Sorry.
All right, well, hopefully we'll find out more about what they have planned at the Comic-Con. I'm excited to hopefully see, other than the two that have already been announced and we've seen pictures for, actually getting some more ideas, maybe even if they don't have pictures of what's coming out, maybe just a list of a couple more figures so our imagination's going to run wild on it.
Okay.
But, like I said, I'll probably be signing up for that later tonight. Might as well jump on the bandwagon.
Everyone's doing it. Come on, man. Peer pressure.
All right, then that wraps it up for news for the week.
That's a lot of news.
That was a lot of news. Well, the one thing we wanted to touch on before we head out for the evening, the Sky Striker contest has been extended for an additional week just to get in some more entries. We've had quite a few of them already. I think we're probably around 25 or so, but not a lot of correct ones. So we've only got a couple of them that have got all four questions correct. So even if you sent in your answers already, you can send in other answers if you think one of them might have been wrong. So go back through, listen to the episodes, and try to pick out what
the... Do you want to read them off one more time?
Sure, I can definitely do that.
All right, go ahead.
So number one question was, what is Gary's favorite Joe character?
It's not CoverGirl, by the way.
CoverGirl. But we think it's funny the one that answered that it was CoverGirl. Bravo, bravo.
That cracked me up. Question number two was, what is Greg's only sideshow figure, which is not Duke? Just that was someone's answer. Just want to throw that out there. Number three, what is Justin's old AOL email account?
It is not generalhawk@AOL.com.
Yep,
that was not correct.
So if you answer that, if you want to send in another question to what's on JoeMind@gmail.com to correct that, that's fine. And then the fourth question, which everyone pretty much got right so far, is what is the potentially canceled vehicle/figure that Chuck really wants? So, like I said, one more week. We'll pull the names out of a hat next week for any of the winners. And then whoever wins it will get that awesome pre-production Sky Striker.
Nice, nice.
And then also another note that because this one went a little bit long, we're going to push the Pursuit of Cobra discussion to a bonus episode for the week. So that'll be up a little bit later after this episode's posted, hopefully.
An extra dose. What's that?
So as long as Gary's on the ball.
I'm on the ball, but everyone gets an extra dose of Chuck this week. How about that?
Hey, why don't that post what the store is?
This is true.
So
we bow to you, Chuck. We bow to you.
Yeah, you just don't see us doing it. Which we won't anyways.
So we're all jumping on his back and riding him to the finish line.
There we go. Yeehaw. So I
went big enough. Don't carry all three.
I wasn't going there.
So I don't think we got anything in this week. Only thing I'll mention is that I did go ahead and get my subscription for the old school the OCS. So, other people, you need to do that too. Support the OCS. Get your subscription in. And that's about it. There was a shout-out, one shout-out.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, Gary.
Go ahead.
A bit of news. I don't know if we want to push this off into the supplemental episode, but speaking of old school creations, they did show some parts of new stuff coming. So, do we want to tack that on with our supplemental episode for later on this week?
Sure, we can do that. Sure. And a quick shout out to Glider Dave on his tank. He wanted me to mention his Albany area collectors group, that if there's anyone on the show that's listening that's around the Albany, New York area interested in to networking in with other area collectors, contact Glider Dave. And I'm reminded of it's been a while since we talked about any of the New York area to collector group, but also a shout out to the Tri-State Vipers. How you doing, guys? But that's it for me. Anybody else got anything?
Nope, that's it.
Yeah, I'm just to rub it in Chuck's nose a little bit. I went down to Boston training last week and I actually found a Red Skull at a Target down there, and I bought them. And they had extras, but I didn't buy any for you, Chuck.
that's okay. I'll find them eventually.
Well, I didn't know you wanted them until today, so it's a little late now. But.
Chuck's just silently going mad on the inside.
Sharpening a snake eye sword.
Main villain of the Captain America movie that's only packed one to a case. No, I wouldn't want him.
Saw three of them, actually.
That means wait a minute. That means there were three cases that were open.
Yeah, no crossbones, damn it. But three red skulls.
Chuck, maybe next time.
Over in Woburn, Mass., how far are you from Woburn? 2.5 hours? 3-hour drive? Bet if you leave now, you might get there.
I really do.
All right. We gotta do this supplemental after this, so let's wrap this up. Anyone else? One more time around the horn. Anyone else got anything? No? All right.
I'm good.
And so... That wraps it up for this episode. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemine@gmail.com. Listen to us at iTunes and at whatsonjoemine.podbean.com. You can read about us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemine. Find us on the various threads of the community at TNI, Terradrome, Joe Customs, JBL, His Tank, Breeze, Joe Declassified, Fighting 118, Blood for the Baron, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Next week, we'll be joined by Jay Hunger from the Coil Club to talk about CoilCon 2011 and its exclusive Coil Commando figure. We'll review episode 24 of Renegades, and we'll do some catching up maybe on the comic worlds if we have time. As always, I'm sure other things will pop up, and when they do, we'll schedule accordingly. Alrighty, that does it for this week. For our showrunner Greg, co-hosts Justin and Chuck, I'm Gary, saying goodnight and see you next week on What's On Joe Mine.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.